Professional wrestling, like real life, is full of surprises. Hi, everyone. It's Freddie Prinze Jr. And it's no surprise I can talk wrestling all day, any day. Kind of like how State Farm agents can talk insurance and help you choose the right coverage. When it comes to important insurance decisions, let State Farm support you with the coverage you need backed with 24/7 support. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hay dos cosas que son absolutamente ciertas. Abuelita te ama y nunca diría que no a McDonald's. Date un gusto con un Grandma McFlurry en tu orden hoy. Es lo que abuela quisiera. Barapapapa. En McDonald's participantes por tiempo limitado.
Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com.
Did you know that to the Aztecs, the avocado was a symbol of virility and enhanced fertility? In fact, the Nahuatl word for avocado, aguacatl, means testicle.
What? Okay, let's uncover the history of the avocado. My name is Eva Longoria.
And I am Maite Gomez Rejon.
And welcome to
Hungry for History,
a podcast that explores our past and present through food.
On every episode, we'll talk about the history of some of our favorite dishes, ingredients, and beverages.
So make yourself at home.
Y buen provecho.
Okay, wait. The Nahuatl word for avocado means testicle. It kind of makes sense. It looks like a testicle.
It's shaped like a testicle. And it also, it's funny to do this with my hands while I'm saying this, but it actually also grows in pairs. So it's shaped like a testicle. It grows in pairs. And to the Aztecs, it had properties of virility and enhanced fertility. It has a lot of oil and a lot of protein. So it was a powerful source of energy, which is why it was a symbol of, you know, virility. But yeah, aguacatl. The word aguacate comes from aguacatl, which means testicle.
That is so funny. So guacamole, where does the word guacamole come from?
Guacamole comes from aguacamuli, which literally translates into avocado sauce. Like when we think of mole, you know, the sauce with chocolate and chiles and all of that, mole means, was Nahuatl for sauce. So aguacamuli is avocado sauce.
Oh.
It's basically, this is a food that was consumed, you know, in Mexico pre-conquest, mashed in a molcajete with a little bit of salt, wrapped in a tortilla like we would have as an after-school snack, or with a little bit of avocado in a tortilla. So it's an ancestral food.
I did a commercial for avocados from Mexico one year, and Americans eat around 140 million pounds of avocado during Super Bowl Sunday alone.
It's insane.
Super Bowl Sunday. Now, do you think Americans know that when they're eating 140 million pounds of it during Super Bowl weekend, that it's a Mesoamerican dish?
No, I doubt it. I mean, nobody thinks about that. It's just, chips and guac, right? Chips and guac.
It's become a staple to the American diet.
Totally. Totally.
I knew they were native to the Americas. But I didn't know they were thousands of years old.
They're thousands of years old. We actually don't know exactly how old they are, but avocado seeds have been found in archaeological sites in modern-day Puebla dating to around 8,000 BC. So it could be, you know, much longer than that, but that's the earliest archaeological evidence. So
now
that's 10,000 years.
That's 10,000 years ago. But is the avocado seasonal?
It is, I mean, in some areas it grows year round, but it, so yeah. In some areas in Mexico, so most avocados now in Mexico grow in Michoacán, which is a very temperate climate. So there, yes, it's a pretty hardy tree as long as it's in a mild temperature. It can sometimes withstand freezing temperatures, but it doesn't really like it.
It's one of the few fruits that doesn't ripen on the tree. So you can pick it early, travel it to, you know, your supermarkets all over the world, and then it ripens, which is interesting.
Yeah, exactly. And that's one of the most surprising facts that I learned about avocado, that it's the only fruit that doesn't ripen on the tree. It could hang on the tree for up to 16 months. So it's a great run of, yeah. I mean, it's kind of, you know, it's kind of amazing. And if you grow it from seed, I don't know if you did that when you were a kid, just take the seed. And
yes, I did.
And you can start sprouting. It's, if you grow it from a seed, it'll take about up to 13 years to actually
produce fruit.
Yeah. Once it produces fruit, yeah, it can hang for 16 months, at least 16 months. Once you pluck it, then it starts to ripen.
Well, not only that, like you said, it takes 13 years for it to produce fruit. But there's an avocado tree like 500 years old in Puebla. Like,
they last
a long time.
They can last a long time. That's the oldest still existing tree, is about 500 years old, but they could live over 100 years. I mean, it's a very hardy tree. They only produce fruit for about 50 years, but that's still a pretty good run.
Did you ever use the leaves in a tea?
Not in tea, although in pre-colonial Mexico, it was used in tea to cleanse, you know, like for stomach problems. Also, the oil was used to diminish scars, in cosmetics for split ends and for dandruff. But I like to use the leaves in beans, like to season my beans. And it has this really interesting sort of anisey scent, which gives the beans. But I've never actually had it in a tea. Have you?
No, I'm not a fan of it. And I know people who put it in their beans, and it gives it an anisey taste to me because I don't like anise. I don't like it. Yeah. But I have seen a lot of people use it. I actually, especially traveling through Mexico this past couple months, I've seen a lot of people use it medicinally, like for stomach aches and stuff.
Yeah, it has really great anti-inflammatory properties and antifungal properties. So it was used a lot. The leaves were used, you know, the oil was used, and even the pit. I've never actually used the avocado pit, but the avocado pit was, you know, ground to use as a condiment for salads and also used for cough and for sore throat. So it's interesting how all aspects of this fruit are used.
Was it the Spanish conquistadors that took the plant to Europe?
Well, pre-conquest, it made its way, you know, through Central America all the way to Peru. I mean, in Peru, there's the Quechua name for avocado is palta, and they still call it the avocado palta there. But it eventually, during the colonial period, it made its way to the Caribbean, right, to Cuba and to Puerto Rico and Jamaica. But the Spaniards then took it to Europe. It was one of these interesting fruits that it was unlike anything they had tasted in the old world. But the earliest written evidence of it dates to 1526. This historian, Spanish historian in Mexico, Fernandez de Oviedo, he described the avocado. In the center of the fruit is a seed like a peeled chestnut, and between this and the rind is the part which is eaten, which is abundant, and is a paste similar to butter and a very good taste. But they were eating it with cheese, and they were also adding a little bit of sugar to it. So they were eating it in a very different way than we eat it today. But also, they didn't really, you know, they didn't really want a lot of people to eat it because of its lustful qualities.
What do you mean? Is it like an aphrodisiac or something?
Exactly, because it was considered an aphrodisiac. So a little bit, you know, a couple of decades later, Francisco Fernandez, the doctor of King Philip II, in his Natural Histories, he was describing, you know, how wonderful this tree is, but also saying that it excites sexual appetite and increases semen count. So it was like, we need to be a little bit cautious of it because it had these, you know, qualities, which I find it so interesting. But yes, but eventually the Spaniards took it over, and from there it made its way all over, you know, all over Europe, really.
When we come back, we're sharing some recipes with you. Stay with us.
I love sharing positive tips with my listeners on everything from health challenges to relationship troubles. Because life happens, baby, but you got this. Hi there, I'm Honey German, and I know we can all use some positive energy these days. That's why I make sure to empower my community, because a bit of motivation and support can go a long way. And luckily, we have State Farm to support us. Like when you talk to a State Farm agent to choose the coverage you need, and they have the options to protect the things you value most. It's the perfect positive tip you need. State Farm is also a big supporter of the My Cultura podcast network, where we as podcast hosts get to share our experiences and stories. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hay dos cosas que son absolutamente ciertas. Abuelita te ama y nunca diría que no a McDonald's. Date un gusto con un Grandma McFlurry en tu orden hoy. Es lo que abuela quisiera. Barapapapa. En McDonald's participantes por tiempo limitado.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I was actually just this morning... When we did our Home Cooks episode, we talked about this book by this woman, Vicenta Torres de Rubio, 1896. Yeah. And I was like, oh, let me see what avocado recipes are in here. And there are four avocado recipes in here. Unlike anything that we really have today, avocados stuffed with sardines, right? This is 1896, stuffed with sardines. Avocados in a nogada sauce with the walnut sauce that goes with chiles en nogada. So they have the avocados with roasted tomatoes, this walnut sauce, and then topped with pomegranate seeds.
Yeah.
Not something that I would think to do today, but now I really want to do it. Avocado stuffed with picadillo, which is ground meat with vinegar and oregano and sliced onion. And then the guacamole. The guacamole is really interesting because it says, this I find so interesting, slice it with a silver or wooden knife, not iron, because it gives it bad flavor and color, right? So then you put it in a platter and you add oil, vinegar, onion, oregano, chile ancho, fried in lard or pickled chiles, and sometimes you can mash it.
So wait, she fried the chile or she fried the whole thing?
Fried the chile. So put it in a platter and then top aceite, vinagre, cebolla, oregano, chile ancho frito en manteca. So the chile fried in lard or chilitos en vinagre. So or pickled chiles.
So you don't put it in a molcajete and grind it?
She says you either put this on a platter and just leave it like this, and then there are some people that mash it.
I think we're going to have a guacamole battle because I have some very sacrilegious rules about guacamole. How do you make your guacamole?
Just lime and salt. That's it.
Okay. You're a purist.
I'm a purist.
I love
what about
it.
You?
You're a purist. I do tomato and onion. So I do, here's my rule. So I do avocado, tomato and onion, white onion, by the way, not red onion, white onion, a lot of salt and a lot of yellow lemon,
what?
Not lime. My rule is lime is for salsa and lemon is for guacamole.
Really?
Except if I'm eating it in a corn tortilla, then I put lime. But literally, I like my guacamole like lemonade. I knew you would be a purist, but like I hate when people put mayonnaise
in
their guacamole.
Oh, no.
Oh my God. I'm
in
like,
anything.
What are you doing?
That's disgusting. Ooh. I've never.
Disgusting.
That's
garlic.
That's,
garlic does not belong in guacamole.
No, I've never had it without. That's how I feel about tomato in guacamole. Whenever I have a tomato, I'm like, this is filler. This is just filler.
Why? I just hate to see guacamole recipes with mayonnaise. Who was the first person to put mayonnaise in guacamole? Like, that's so dumb. So dumb.
But it's already creamy. It doesn't need anything.
Yes, I have I'm very passionate about this mayonnaise rule.
That's disgusting.
I will say we go through in my household 12 to 15 avocados a week.
Really?
Oh yeah. It's like my husband and I and my son, I mean, we just eat them every day. Every day. I don't think there's a day that goes by that I don't eat an avocado.
Yeah. Every time I go to the grocery store, I buy avocado. It's always on my shopping list. Always. And either guacamole or just sliced. You know, another way that I really love it is cubed. Like if I'll make like a chicken soup, like some sort of warm, you know, caldo, especially now that it's so cold out, and just cubed avocados in a warm soup. I love that. I love the feeling of that warm with the creaminess of the avocado.
Yeah, I make an amazing tortilla soup and it's incomplete without avocado in it.
Yes, I agree. It's so good. It's so versatile.
Sopa de fideo, I have to have avocado in my sopa de fideo.
You have to have it. You have to have the little cubes. It's that, little pieces of tortilla, little pieces of cubed cheese. It goes together.
Yes.
And it's so versatile. Yeah. I make this really amazing chocolate avocado pudding. I am on board with that.
I need the recipe to that.
All right, I'm going to start making my chocolate avocado pudding, which is the most delicious thing. Everybody loves it. I have 1 cup of water heating. I'm going to add 3/4 cup sugar, 1/4 cup of cocoa powder, and about a tablespoon of vanilla extract. Then I have 2 very ripe avocados that I'm going to put in a food processor. So I'm gonna slice them, remove the pit, and scoop them into the food processor. I just processed that until it looks super, super smooth and not at all chunky, just like a smooth avocado. Sugar is simmering, and I'm gonna melt 1 cup of chocolate chips. I'm using bittersweet chocolate chips. I'm gonna stick these in the microwave for about 30-second increments so it doesn't burn. Okay, my water, sugar, cocoa powder mixture is now melted. I'm gonna take that off the heat. I'm gonna pour this liquid into the food processor with the avocado. It's still warm. All right, so now it's this light, sort of greenish brown mixture, the avocado and the liquid, and I'm gonna check my chocolate chips again. My chocolate is perfectly melted. It's super smooth and silky. I'm gonna add this to the food processor. Blend this together. And now it's just, oh my gosh. Chocolate avocado. It has a creaminess of butter. Oh gosh, that's it. It's really dark, brown, rich, amazing. I'm gonna scoop this into ramekins and I'm gonna refrigerate it for, I would say about 3 hours just until it sets and it will thicken a little bit. And then I'm gonna garnish it with cocoa nibs and it's the perfect dessert for Valentine's Day, for Super Bowl, for any day. It's delicious, it's healthy-ish. And it is gorgeous.
It's the avocado making the chocolate creamier as opposed to mayonnaise in avocado. Like it's like an oxymoron. You're doing creamy, creamy. But an avocado chocolate mousse, that is like, yes.
We're going to post the recipe to that because it's so good because it's creamy. It doesn't have butter. It doesn't have eggs. It doesn't have anything. The bitterness of the chocolate, but then it has this creamy sensation in a very good way.
Don't go anywhere. Hungry for History will be right back.
As an actor, a producer, and a proud Latino father, my days can get very busy, which is why I make sure to dedicate time to what's important, like supporting my community through my work, sharing my Colombian and Venezuelan culture, and being present for my family, which is everything to me. Hey everyone, it's Wilmer Valderrama, and we're reflecting on what matters most. I start by giving thanks for good support in my life whenever I need to make the big decisions. How about you? If it's insurance you need, State Farm is there to help you choose the right coverage for you. And State Farm offers great support 24/7. Just call an agent. State Farm is also a big supporter of My Cultura podcast network by helping to share our Latinx voices. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows wherever you get your podcasts.
Hay dos cosas que son absolutamente ciertas. Abuelita te ama y nunca diría que no a McDonald's. Date un gusto con un Grandma McFlurry en tu orden hoy. Es lo que abuela quisiera. Barapapapa. En McDonald's participantes por tiempo limitado.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Welcome back to Hungry for History. With Super Bowl and Valentine's Day around the corner, we thought we'd feature a chef to give us some tips on making the perfect guacamole. Here is Chef Manuel Treviño, the Vice President of Culinary Operations at Rosa Mexicano Restaurants. He also happens to be from my hometown of Laredo, Texas.
My name is Manuel Treviño. I'm based in New York City, but I was born and raised in South Texas in a town called Laredo, Texas. As long as I can remember, probably about the age of 6 or 7, it's when I really started cooking in my mom's kitchen. It's always been a passion of mine. I love food and quickly learned that my destiny was the restaurant business. It's been an incredible journey and something that I wouldn't change for anything. At Rosa Mexicana, we make guacamole for you tableside. We'll pull up a little cart and inside a molcajete, we'll start building the guacamole right in front of your eyes. Little red onion, cilantro, chilies. We use a combination of serrano and jalapeno. We will mash that up into a paste with a little kosher salt. And then to that, we'll fold in the avocado. We'll finish it off with a little bit more cilantro, a little bit of onion, the chili mixture, and some diced tomatoes. The one thing that we don't do is we don't add lime juice to it. You know, we found that it really produces a really avocado-forward guacamole, if you will. And our customers love it. It's what they keep coming back for since 1984. The molcajete really allows us to create our seasoning paste. And by using the mano, we mash all those ingredients. The molcajete itself is quite porous, so it really assists in the grinding and extraction of those essential oils. Those oils then marry very well with the fats of the avocado, seasoning the avocado from the inside out, if you will. The molcajete is then anointed as well with all those essential oils, so the flavor profile becomes much richer and deeper than you would just folding in those ingredients. But the key, again, with a molcajete, besides tradition, besides its functionality, it really takes on those flavors and creates a guacamole that's richer and deeper in flavor than you would get from just taking the ingredients, combining them in a normal bowl, and folding everything together. It's really about the layering of flavor, and it all starts with that molcajete.
I get very proud of the fact that Mexico is the primary world exporter of avocados.
Of avocado, yeah, it is. I think it's something like 80% of avocado comes from Mexico.
But I read that the California Avocado Commission blocked it from entering the U.S. between 1914 and 1997.
It's a long time.
Until 1997. They couldn't keep up with the demand, so then they finally opened the doors to Mexico and was like, all right. The U.S. Department of Agriculture was like, okay. All right, come on in.
The California Avocado Commission was so strong, and there were so many avocados being produced in California, like really good avocados being consumed in California. So this is why they were saying, oh, you know, Mexican avocados have a plague, and they're bringing plague to the U.S., which wasn't true, but eventually avocados got really popular. I mean, 1997. So when we grew up, right, in South Texas, probably the avocados that we were purchasing in South Texas was from California, but they couldn't keep up with the demand. I remember, you know, growing up in Laredo on the border, we used to go across and that's where we used to buy the avocados. There was a fruit stand, Frutería González, I remember. We used to go to Frutería González. They had the best avocados in Nuevo Laredo. They used to just remove the pit so we would be able to cross it. It's crazy how much power, how much control an organization can have.
Well, talking about power, I thought it was a rumor, but this is actually true that avocado exporting is such a big business that the cartels have tried or are trying to control the supply chain.
It is big business. I mean, the avocado, it's green gold, oro verde, it's referred to as green gold. There's so much money involved. So a lot of the drug cartels are going to farmers or going to exporters, and they're trying to infiltrate, like any business that makes so much money, they're trying to infiltrate. Limes are also a big part. I mean, limes are not native to Mexico, but it is also such a big business.
I didn't know there were 500 varieties of avocado.
Like, at least 500.
I was like, what? What do you mean? Is that because of GMOs? Like, is it genetically modified?
I don't necessarily know about GMOs. I mean, I remember the first time I went to Oaxaca many, many years ago, I tasted an avocado. It was like the size of an egg. It was tiny and the peel was super, super thin. You could bite it like an apple, and it had a very intense sort of anise taste. But there are main varieties of avocado. The Mexican one was like, which is like a little egg or like a little size of a plum that's very anisey. And then there's the Guatemalan one.
And it's
one.
Like black.
And it's black.
The Mexico ones are black, yeah.
Yes, yes, like thin skin and black, which was those. And then there's the Guatemalan, which is a larger fruit.
And then avocados are also grown in Israel, Africa.
China. Right now they're growing.
China.
Right now they're being grown everywhere. But from these sort of main varieties, there are many hybrids. So they'll take like the strongest ones, like the Haas avocado, which is the avocado that's the one that's the most consumed, probably the ones that everybody is more familiar with in the U.S. And that was first developed here in California, not far from Los Angeles.
La Habra, yeah.
La Habra,
La Habra, yeah.
So this is a combination of two different avocados.
It's named the Haas avocado. I didn't realize that was somebody's name.
Rudolf Haas.
Rudolf Haas.
He was an amateur botanist, gardener, and he was a postal worker. So this is kind of an interesting story, right? In the early 1900s, California was just, everybody wanted to move to California. It's this the land of sunshine, and it was this whole thing, oh, you plant two avocado trees, you put a hammock in the middle, and then you're going to become rich, right? So he decided to move to California from Wisconsin. He bought an acre of land in La Habra, and he, you know, took these avocados, this Fuerte avocado that came from an avocado in Mexico that was grafted here in California. It survived this frost, this freeze of 1911, and it was named Fuerte because it was so strong. So this Rudolf Haas, he took some of this Fuerte, some of these avocados, and combined them, grafted them with these other avocados, taking two different really strong avocados and putting them together to create this really resistant tree, this new tree that grew year-round, and he named it the Haas avocado, and he patented this avocado in 1935, and by the 1970s, Haas avocado represented more than 80% of the avocados in California.
Oh, wow.
And this is something that this amateur gardener, postman from Wisconsin, he basically created this. And he made, sadly, his patent expired in 1952, and he made like $5,000 this whole time. Yeah, it's kind of a sad story.
I don't know why. I don't even question what Haas meant. I was like, that's obviously a plant type.
Right?
But I think Haas is like, because we live in California, that's like, we always buy Haas avocados. They're just the most common.
They're the most common. But
and they're the best tasting.
They're really good. Because they're, I feel like they're consistent. Like you always know what you're going to get. But it's also this particular avocado, Haas avocado, it's also grown in Mexico now. It's so resistant. It grows year-round. It's really strong. It's really flavorful. It's sort of the perfect
I like
hybrid.
A flavorful, like all the fruit in Mexico is so flavorful. Avocados and mangoes and pineapple and cucumbers. I mean, like things have taste in Mexico.
It does.
Which I love. I have thoroughly enjoyed this episode because—
Me too.
I thought I knew the avocado. Let me tell you, the avocado and I are really good friends, and I thought I knew everything about it, and I didn't. There's a lot of stuff I didn't know. I didn't know it was an aphrodisiac. I didn't know it procures lust.
An avocado is the best. The best. I love it too.
Thank you guys for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to Hungry for History.
Thank you.
Hungry for History is an Unbelievable Entertainment production in partnership with iHeart's My Cultura podcast network.
For more of your favorite shows, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Professional wrestling, like real life, is full of surprises. Hi, everyone. It's Freddie Prinz Jr. And it's no surprise I can talk wrestling all day, any day. Kind of like how State Farm agents can talk insurance and help you choose the right coverage. When it comes to important insurance decisions, let State Farm support you with the coverage you need backed with 24/7 support. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hay dos cosas que son absolutamente ciertas. Abuelita te ama y nunca diría que no a McDonald's. Date un gusto con un Grandma McFlurry en tu orden hoy. Es lo que abuela quisiera. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. En McDonald's participantes por tiempo limitado.
Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20 en español.com.